Nā kāsāṅ tā nēmīṅ kī kēvē, mē kēvē lē tāṅ kēvē lē kī nēmīṅ kī chēvū tāṅ tāpē chēvū kīrīṅ kī chēvū tē tēnē tēnē rē sērē ngā tūs tēmē kāsāṅ tī shūrā.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me at the back there? Am I a bit louder at the back? Let's see, I think. Is it a bit loud? Can you hear me right at the back there? Yeah, yeah? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So last night, we looked at the three ripening effects of karma, looking at the fully ripened effects, as well as that of the environmental effect or the dominance effect, and the second being that of the effect concordance with the cause. So we looked at those three last night. Mm-hmm. So there was a question last night that we didn't get to. So maybe if you want to start with that, Cameron.
We were talking about the completion versus performance. Yes. My question was just simply, is the measure of completion no interest in the thing? So, for example, if I gave the example of chocolate, and is the, effectively, the renunciation, the completion of renunciation, the desire for chocolate no interest?
So, in terms of, last night we also looked at virtuous actions. And there we spoke about the four branches of the action, the basis, the attitude, including the motivation, and the performance and the completion. So particularly in relation to the completion, where one, the completion of the virtuous action is that where one has lost interest, for example, in terms of the diabetic with chocolate.
Yeah, for any type of non-virtuous action.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you. 삼다에 아직 좀 유아 친지 좀 저 소주변에 타도 주요 말해서 드세요.
그래서
디벨
So it's not necessary to have gone as far as to have abandoned any wish for it at all, but rather the completion is with that firm determination. You may still have the wish to, with the illustration of the chocolate, but I'm not going to be doing that. Yeah? So the completion is having reflected on the faults, made that firm decision, I will not engage in this harmful activity. Then even if the wish arises, it doesn't have sufficient strength to overpower that virtuous mind. So the wish to engage in something may arise, but there's no follow-up on that. Rather, or the only follow-up would be the virtuous mind being recalled, or the mindfulness of that virtuous mind would recall it, and then one does not follow. So the completion is this definite decision. This is something I'm not going to do. And it's definite not just in the moment, but it's lasting.
Right. So my only concern is that there may be the potential to lapse back into the old ways.
Mm.
So the idea of completion seemed to me like we no longer had any possibility of lapsing back into the old ways.
That doesn't have to guessing that it's going for the change. That's a pin up that not be a big better, you know? We'll just stay with the chocolate. So you reflect, as a diabetic, you reflect on the faults of eating chocolate. And you make the firm decision, I'm not going to eat chocolate anymore. So you've come to the completion or the conclusion of that virtuous mind. The virtuous imprint has been accumulated. Tomorrow, next week, the imprint's a bit weak, and one eats chocolate. Now one has accrued, it's not really non-virtue, but for the sake of our illustration, we'll say it is. And then, so now, last week, you accumulated a virtuous mind. This week, a non-virtuous mind. So the completion is not dependent on one for a specified period, not doing it again. It's that firm decision then and there, based on reasoning, I won't do it. Then if one happens to do it later, then one still has that virtuous imprint, that virtuous karmic imprint from before, but now one has accumulated a new non-virtuous karmic imprint. So like killing the mosquito would be clearer, which is non-virtuous. Where we are in the text is we've looked at non-virtuous karma. Now we're looking at virtuous karma. And last night we looked at the effects or the results of non-virtuous karma. Now we're looking at the effects or results of virtuous actions or virtuous karma. And the Lama Tsongkhapa starts in the same way as he did last night by talking about the fully ripening result that follows from virtuous karma. And what that ripening result will be is dependent on the strength of the virtuous karmic imprint. So reading from the text at the bottom of page 136, the effects of virtuous actions. From among the three effects of the virtuous paths of action, the fully ripened effect is to be born as a human being, a desire realm god, or a god of the two upper realms through the force of small, intermediate, or great virtuous actions. So independent on the strength of the virtuous action, whether it's small, intermediate, or great, one will be born in one of these various states. Reading just the end of that sentence. Through the force of small intermediate or great virtuous action. So what determines the strength of the virtuous action is the strength of the motivation. So this is the same as we saw last night in terms of the non-virtuous action. It's the quality of the motivation that determines the strength, or yeah, it's the strength of the motivation that determines the strength of the karmic result. And in terms of the great virtuous action, that is what leads to rebirth in the form or formless realm. And that necessarily also, what creates a karmic imprint, a virtuous karmic imprint of such strength, is that it is done together with a mind of karma abiding. In that, karma abiding is the mind that creates the great karmic imprint, a great strength of karmic imprint that leads to rebirth in the form or formless realm.
Are da dinegi debo da kyujini debo da ane da be debo ni migewa le do de jaro si de gasa migewa she ba migewi kyujini debo da be debo she ba dile ti dokcho de da
So what we've looked at thus far, of the three ripening effects of virtuous actions, is the first, the fully ripened effect. And now for the next two, it's presented in at the top of page 137. In the case of the effect concordant with the cause and the dominant or environmental effect, these are the opposites of the respective effects from non-virtuous actions. So it was presented in more detail in the section we covered last night in the non-virtuous actions. But here it's presented, it's just the opposite of those. So to give an illustration, last night then it was mentioned that if one kills, it's a non-virtuous action, can lead to rebirth in the lower realms. And that same inference, so that would be the fully ripened effect, which would lead to rebirth in the lower realms. But when it leads to rebirth in the human, So if one kills, when that karmic imprint, when it ripens as a propelling a karmic imprint, it will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. When one is later born as a human being, so from a different karmic imprint, that previous karmic imprint of killing can still ripen in terms of the effect concordant with the cause, and how that karmic imprint from killing ripens as an effect concordant with the cause is to have a shorter life. So this was mentioned specifically last night. So then, if one accrues the virtuous karmic imprint of abandoning killing, when that ripens, that virtuous karmic imprint of abandoning killing ripens as a effect concordant with the cause, it would be the experience of having a long life. So the opposite. The effect concordant to the cause of killing is when born as a human to have a short life. The effect concordant to the cause of the virtuous imprint of abandoning killing is when born as a human to have a long life. Similarly, last night we saw that from the non-virtue of stealing, but ripens as a propelling karma, leads to rebirth in the lower realms. But later, when born as a human being, should it ripen as a effect concordant with the cause, one will be impoverished and will struggle to have material resources. So that's from the non-virtuous imprint. Then the effect concordance with the cause of the opposite imprint, so that the virtuous imprint, the virtuous karmic imprint from abandoning a stealing, this will be to have an abundance of material resources.
Loyim Sumigi, Dapong Pig, Kiwi Legi, and it getting into Botella Carsone, Chamala Soba, Suma, the Ungri Essay. On the Dikiawatsi, rather, the Dosho de Machina, the Loyim Sumigi, Dapong Pig, Kiwi Legi, getting into Vocaligres, and Chamala Soba, Suma, the Ungri Essay.
When the fair concordance of the cause from the virtuous mind of abandoning sexual misconduct is the opposite of what we saw last night. So this is that one will have a harmonious and lasting relationship with one's partner. One's partner will not leave you.
Mm-hmm. Kurwati Mishengi, Sosolia, and Kushev, Yahoo, Keronshe, Dembar is a Kurwati Ungri, such as Shagrovada.
Through cultivating the virtuous karmic imprint of abandoning lying, then the effect concordance of the cause of the virtuous karmic imprint is one will not be slandered.
And then, no, and do send a chatter machine that the dog shot him by the same with how to hear and the patient was in a city. And the name that day, Diana, Dangan, the young TV, Casale, the La Carrioris, and the Chevron, Nanji, Pimbe, Leda, and the Zogigili, a city, Nayawari, Cheval Masson, do send a Chevichigore.
And so forth. So you can read all those from the previous page, page 135, and there one will see the effects concordant with the cause from non-virtue, and the opposite of those, as illustrated, will be the effects concordant with the cause of the opposing virtuous actions. So then the text comes to other categories of karma. So if you looked at non-virtuous karma, virtuous karma, now the third, other categories of karma. Actions or karma has these two parts. I'll just skip that because it's not in the Tibetan. Then looking at the difference between propelling and completing actions. So this word propelling, you may know as projecting, or as it used to be translated as throwing karma. But here we use propelling. So propelling actions for a fortunate rebirth are virtuous actions. So in other words, from virtuous karma, because the word action is the English for karma, from virtuous actions, one attains rebirth in a fortunate realm. Whereas propelling actions for rebirth in the lower realms are non-virtuous actions. What's presented in this first line about propelling actions, about propelling karma, is definite. Propelling karma is what propels a rebirth. And so therefore, a virtuous karmic imprint, when it ripens and propels a rebirth, it is definite that rebirth will be in the fortunate realms. And the opposite is also the case. Should a non-virtuous karmic imprint ripen at the time of death, that propelling non-virtuous propelling karmic imprint, it is definite it will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. So there's no ambiguity, there's no exceptions. Virtuous karmic imprints, when they propel a rebirth, the rebirth will necessarily be in the higher realms. And if it's a non-virtuous imprint that propels a rebirth, that will necessarily be in the lower realms. This is definite. There are no exceptions to this.
Then
That's about propelling karma. Then the next sentence, which is now about completing karma. Lama Tsongkhapa writes, the completing ones are undetermined. So propelling actions, you can say, are determined, and probably better will be definite, because this is the word for definite, just here translated as undetermined or not definite. What the meaning is that for propelling imprints, propelling karma, it is definite that virtue ripens in a rebirth in the higher realms. And non-virtue, if it ripens as propelling karma, it's definite, it ripens in rebirth in the lower realms. But this is not the case for completing karma. Completing karma, when it ripens, virtuous karma can ripen in either the fortunate realms or the lower realms. Likewise, when non-virtuous completing karma ripens, it can ripen in either high realms or lower realms as experiences within those realms, not propelling one to that rebirth, because that's propelling karma, but as experiences within those rebirths, within those lives. So what propelling karma is the imprint that propels one from the life where you're dying into your new life. So it propels one to the fortunate or lower realms. Hence, the word propelling or projecting or throwing throws one into the fortunate or higher realms.
And so, what you said, the Kawakiwa Limba in the Din Telia, Susugi, that been a near town, which had been a Segula Soba, Junta Majunta, and the Nigitone, and the Chigi, Wombo Sana, Matala Soba, the Yoyadi, that's what you said, Chigore.
Whereas completing karma does not fulfill this function of propelling the rebirth to the particular life or realm, but rather it completes conditions or the situation one finds oneself in. And the text will then make this clear, for example, whether one's limbs are incomplete and so forth. For example, the practice of generosity, when one is developing a generous attitude, this is virtuous. And when it ripens as completing karma. And so too for the opposite of generosity, the mind of miserliness. This too, as a non-virtuous karmic imprint, when it ripens as completing karma, not as propelling karma. A virtuous karmic imprint, when it ripens and propels a rebirth, that rebirth will necessarily be in the fortunate realms, in the higher realms. And that virtuous karmic imprint that ripens and propels a rebirth in the higher realms is a propelling karmic imprint. And let's say one's born as a human being, and one has excellent conditions and resources, this is an effect, a result of generosity, the virtuous karma of generosity. And when that ripens, it ripens not as propelling karma, but completing karma. And for someone else born as a human, that they were born as a human indicates that at the time of the death in the previous life, a virtuous karmic imprint ripened and propelled a rebirth into the fortunate realms, in particular that of the human realm. But if they are impoverished, if they struggle to gather material goods, then we can recognize that a completing karma from miserliness has ripened. So this would be non-virtuous karma that has ripened in their fortunate rebirth as a human. And therefore, they are suffering from poverty. To give another example, being born as an animal, let's say a dog, that this being is a dog in the animal realm shows that its propelling karmic imprint was non-virtuous because it's been born in the lower realms. So therefore, we know that this being is living the result of non-virtuous karma. But they could have plenty of virtuous karma ripening in their life. For example, virtuous karma from, in a previous life, practicing generosity. When this ripens for the dog, whilst they are in the lower realms, a rebirth propelled by non-virtuous karma, non-virtuous propelling karma propelled this rebirth as a dog, but virtuous completing karma from generosity can ripen, then this dog will live in a comfortable home with plenty of food to eat and so forth. So in this way, we see that the rebirth from the propelling karma is definite, non-virtuous, will lead to the lower realms. But even in the lower realms, virtuous completing karma can ripen because the completing karma is not definite. Then Lama Tsongkhapa gives illustrations showing how that whilst propelling karma is definite, completing karma is not definite. However, even in the fortunate rebirths, incomplete limbs, minor body parts, or sense faculties, hideous looks, a short lifespan, multiple illnesses, poverty, and so forth, are caused by non-virtue. So we see here is a virtuous rebirth, a rebirth from a virtuous imprint, but non-purchase, completing karma rightly. And then the opposite. Also, in the case of animals and hungry ghosts, abundant prosperity is caused by virtue. So when, at the time of death, a virtuous karmic imprint ripens as propelling karma, one will definitely be reborn in the higher realms, so let's say as a human. But whilst one is being propelled by a virtuous imprint, it is entirely possible for non-virtuous karmic imprints to ripen as completing karma. Then one will have, as it says here, incomplete limbs, minor body parts or sense faculties, so like one's fingers, or sense faculties, one's sight, hideous looks, a short lifespan, multiple illnesses, poverty, and so forth. So this shows how completing karma is undetermined, whereas propelling karma is definite.
On the other day, Dendro in Naya, Zogi, Legi, Migi Village, it would mean no goddess. Then, Dieta, Migi Village, Pen Picking, Undertin, a Pendu by Naya, Zogi, Legi, what to your rest, give him to mean to your rest. Dura Sulios and Pen Dundro da Ida de Gia, and a good Gudi, Penji Lady, Migi Village, Penbare. In our Hondolia, Benjo Puzon Soba Yobar, Ben Ida, Dudo Casilia,
That next sentence, also in the case of animals and hungry ghosts, abundant prosperity is caused by virtue. So as with the illustration of Gibbon, when a being dies and a non-virtuous karmic imprint propels the next rebirth, then they will necessarily be born in the lower realms, say as an animal or as a predator. So that is definite. From a non-virtuous a karmic imprint that propels a rebirth, it is definite one will be born in the lower realms. But the completing karma that ripens can be either virtuous or non-virtuous. And so if it were virtuous, in the case of the dog, it would have a comfortable home, plenty to eat, and so forth. So the completing karma that ripens in a lifetime can be either virtuous or non-virtuous. And so too with pretas, in that some of them have better conditions than others.
Generally,
we know with pretas or hungry ghosts that they have tremendous difficulty gaining food or drink, or if they gain it, they cannot consume it and so forth. But here it's given, hungry ghosts or pretas are given as a rebirth where it's possible to have prosperity.
What
this means is a hungry ghost, a being born as a preta, is necessarily propelled there. The propelling karmic imprint is non-virtuous. But should there be virtuous completing karma ripening, what it will not ripen as is them being able to have sufficient to eat and drink. But how it would ripen is that their material conditions would be sufficient, would be relative to other predators, would be excellent. But they would still be struggling to be able to eat and drink. So that does not change for the predator if their virtuous karma ripening, but their material conditions, their resources, other than food and drink, could well be abundant.
Mili ne,
So for the predator, if they have a virtuous completing karma, they will live relative to other predators in comfortable circumstances, but they will still struggle to eat and drink. So sometimes, even in our world, the world of humans, this can be seen that someone relative to those in their community has really comfortable conditions, but they still struggle with food and drink.
Can I just ask, with these four possibilities, what are the two things being compared? Is it good conditions and bad conditions?
So again, we'll come to that now, the final sentence there, where the four possibilities are discussed, and we'll see if it's clear then. The text then continues. Thus, there are four possibilities. So first of the four, the first, that which is propelled by virtuous propelling action and completed by virtuous action. So that's number one. Number two, a reading from the beginning, that which is propelled by virtuous propelling action and a non-virtuous completing action. So that's the second. So the propelling karma is virtuous and the completing karma is either virtuous or non-virtuous. So that's the first two. Then the third, and that which is propelled by a non-virtuous propelling action and completed by a non-virtuous completing karma. That's the third. And again, a non-virtuous propelling karma, but is completed by a virtuous completing karma. So that's the fourth. So here we have the two propelling karmas, which are definite, of either virtuous or non-virtuous, and each can be subdivided into a virtuous propelling karma with a virtuous or non-virtuous completing karma, making two, and a non-virtuous propelling karma can be completed by either virtuous or non-virtuous completing karma, making another two.
And dōshē kīwē kī, kīwē lī, lē tī kī tā, pāng, pēn pā, dzō pā, chā kōr, dzō āyā tī yā pā, kōrā, jī, dēnē kī, xī nē, mā xī pā, tū sū sū kī, tūng kē tā, kāng kī, kāng kā, kāng yā mē pā, tū sī nē, yā hō chūng chē, mā xī wē, nē, dōshē kīwē dzō pā, chā kōr, jī sā, pēn jī yā, kīwē pēn pā lē, dzō jī yā, kīwē dzō pā lē sā.
Let's give illustrations then. So, to take a virtuous propelling karmic imprint, accompanied by virtuous completing karma. So being the virtuous karmic imprint, if that is a virtuous karmic imprint propels the rebirth, it will necessarily be in the higher realm, so let's say as a human. And then if this is accompanied by virtuous completing karma, then the person, the human, will have possibly excellent physical as well as material conditions. So this is a good outcome where virtue was created in a past life, and that's ripened both as the propelling karma as well as virtuous karma as ripened as completing karma. Then one is born in the higher realms as a human, for example, with excellent physical and material conditions. That was the first. Let's look at the second. Still staying with the virtuous propelling karmic imprint, so reborn in the higher realms, but accompanied by non-virtuous completing karma. So let's say one's born as a human. This would have been propelled by a virtuous propelling karmic imprint, born as a human, but the completing karma is non-virtuous. Then this person is going to struggle. They may have physical impediments. They may have material impediments. So their life will have problems coming from, non-virtuous, the ripening of non-virtuous, completing karma. But the propelling karmic imprint was virtuous because they are born as a human. So let's look at the second group of two. So this then relates to a non-virtuous propelling karmic imprint ripening at the time of death. So if it's non-virtuous, one will necessarily be born in the lower realms. So let's say it's a non-virtuous karmic imprint of weak strength, then one is born as an animal, let's say a dog. But if that rebirth in the as an animal is accompanied by non-virtuous completing karma, then this dog will struggle to find food to eat, maybe in a difficult environment and so forth. So when both a non-virtuous propelling karmic imprint as well as non-virtuous completing karma come together, then that being has abundant problems and difficulties. They're born in the lower realms and their conditions are particularly difficult, perhaps physical, otherwise material. And therefore we'll have, for example, the dog struggling to eat and so forth.
I mean,
And the final permutation in the four, again, non-virtuous propelling karmic imprint ripens at death. And let's say it's a weak non-virtuous karmic imprint, so once born as in the animal realm, again, let's say it's a dog. But now this rebirth is accompanied by virtuous completing karma. And so therefore, this dog perhaps will have plenty to eat, maybe be adopted by a loving family, and really have good conditions around it. So this is... that whilst it is suffering due to a non-virtuous karmic imprint propelling rebirth in the lower realms, it's attaining or encountering a lot of benefits from virtuous completing karma ripening. Further point to make here is that the propelling karmic imprint that propels, that ripens at death and propels rebirth, when one takes rebirth, one does not, that propelling karma doesn't change or get altered during that lifetime. So let's say it's a virtuous karmic imprint that propels rebirth as a human being. Then one is born as a human being, and throughout that entire lifespan that one has, one remains a human being. So the virtuous propelling karmic imprint, it doesn't change over the course of the propelled life.
In this section, we have the sentence that completing ones are undetermined. And what was mentioned, so that implies that the propelling ones are determined, or instead of determined, you can say definite. It's the same word. So the propelling karma is definite in the sense that virtuous karma, propelling karma, leads to rebirth in the higher realms, and it doesn't change over the lifetime. So when one is born in the higher realms, or a particular realm, one stays in that realm. So these are two meanings to being definite. For completing karma, they are undetermined or not definite, indefinite. And there the meaning is twofold. That what has already been covered is that should one be born in either the higher or lower realms, one can be accompanied by completing karma that is either virtuous or non-virtuous. So that point's already been covered. But then the additional point is, one can encounter a variety of virtuous or non-virtuous, a virtuous or non-virtuous completing karma in a lifetime. So let's say someone attains rebirth as a human being. So what's clear is a virtuous karmic imprint propelled rebirth as a human being. So this is definite, and for throughout this lifespan, this being will remain human. That's definite too. The completing karma that they were born with, let's say, was non-virtuous in terms of wealth, and they are impoverished. They're born into an impoverished family. So this is the ripening of non-virtuous completing karma. When that non-virtuous completing karma ends, and it may be exhausted, and it may well, that non-virtuous completing karma may well be exhausted long before the virtuous propelling karma is exhausted. And in that case, when the non-virtuous completing karma that has led to impoverishment is exhausted, a virtuous completing karma may well ripen. And then this will be observed as this person, their fortunes are turned around from living thus far a life of poverty. Now they have lifted themselves up, and they are in a better circumstance, or maybe a remarkable circumstance. But what's clear is there's change. And this change has come about, just to repeat, from the non-virtuous completing karma being exhausted, so its energy, its strength being exhausted, and now another completing karma can ripen, and if it is a virtuous one, their circumstance will change. And so this, of course, can happen in the opposite direction. First, a virtuous completing karma, and when it's exhausted, non-virtuous completing karma can ripen.
And then get that Zongjigili table de la Kivile and Migivile Dusine Korachepche that Dus Yungurva and Dela that Pene Zongjigili Gavile and Migivile Niga Yumdu Yumba Yungurva, the Zongjigil Pe Mangurta, Naka Mangurva, Sinada, Zongjigil, Gavile and Migivile Zongjig Yumdimba Yungura, Penzu, Jigge, Yahoo, and Washadan, Sanjig, Yahoo, Bene. 如果做这个来，这部像地下做这个来，这部效果的话，王伯昌完了，说把他吃上的，这那日本的那个吃上，这呢，原本呢，像这吞进去刚刚这边的，在做这米给为来的，这几天，这是做这给为来的米给为来，那个蒙古在这里隔壁了，做这给为来的米给为来，人家刚才这里啊，你们都明白用过的，但是做这给为来，做这给来的了呀。 军人都蒙古用过的，或者女不齐用的，忘记，搞不了呀。嗯，你这个这部逻辑是用过呀，道理是用过呀，你们是用过呀，干么是用过呀？对呢，那时候用是一路的，做些给为来，给这部的，没给为来，给这部的，对那个那时候用过的。但是，但做些给为来，做些给来的，白嘛，那么让蒙古白学习的，蒙古要的。So
this word undetermined or indefinite, it's really carries quite a lot. So in terms of the propelling karma, this is definite, there's not so much to say, and it's definite in these two ways. Virtue leads to rebirth in the high realms, and the second way is that it's, one doesn't change realm as long as that imprint still maintains its energy or its force. So for propelling karma, the discussion about being definite, there's not so much to say. But in terms of completing ones which are undetermined or not definite, there's so much to say. So what is, in addition to what is already mentioned, is that completing karma does not necessarily ripen one after the other. They can and they do ripen one after the other, but several can also ripen together. So for example, when death comes, a single propelling karmic, not necessarily a single, so a karmic imprint will propel one into a new rebirth. This can be accompanied by several completing karmic imprints, some of which could be virtuous, some non-virtuous. So for example, virtuous karmic imprint propels rebirth as a human. A virtuous completing karmic imprint ripens and one's body is healthy and fine, one's sight and hearing and limbs, everything is fine. So this comes from virtuous completing karma. But one is born into impoverishment. That comes from non-virtuous completing karma. So in this way, one sees how
at the time of birth, or the, you know, at the time of being propelled into a new birth, one can be accompanied by a ripening of virtuous and non-virtuous completing karma. So this is a further understanding of it being indefinite. Moreover, the duration of these karmic imprints, of the completing karmic imprints, are indefinite. Whereas for the propelling karmic imprints, they are definite. They are the lifespan, whatever that may be. But for the completing karmic imprints, they may pass very quickly, few moments, few hours, few days, and then be replaced by others. Or they may last decades, maybe even a whole lifetime. So the completing karmic imprints, in terms of their duration, there is also a lot of variety.
Andine ya le dilia kari yorasne nyong a ngi bile da nyong a mangi bile sia di ya ji le gi da ne min yi da de ni gi a je bu le dilia nyong a nyong a le da nyong a mangi bile sia di on du sin ya ye wa yi che ju wo le.
Presentation, and if we look just further up on page 137, other categories of action. So we've looked at the first, this is 2 points, the difference between propelling and completing karma. And now we come to the second, the difference between that which will be definitely experienced and that which will not necessarily be experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So reading from the text, the difference between what will definitely be experienced and what will not necessarily be experienced. That which will definitely be experienced is what has been done intentionally and has been accumulated. That which will not necessarily be experienced is what has been done intentionally, but has not been accumulated. Looking at the first sentence, that which will definitely be experienced is that which has been done intentionally and has been accumulated. What that means is the four branches of the karmic action are complete. All four of them have been completely present. And those four we looked at a while ago: basis, attitude, which includes the motivation, performance, and completion. So when those four components are complete, then it is karma that will definitely be experienced. I read the sentence again. That which will definitely be experienced is what has been done intentionally and been accumulated. So when virtuous karma is accumulated completely, so those four components are there, so one has a a fully formed karmic imprint, or a karmic imprint with its full potential. Should that ripen, this virtuous karmic imprint with its full intention, it has the capacity to ripen as propelling karmic imprints, and where it will send one is propel one's rebirth is in the higher realms. So such a karmic imprint, it will definitely ripen. So such a karmic imprint, because the four components are there, it will definitely ripen. Should it ripen as a propelling karmic imprint, it will also ripen as a, or propel a rebirth in the higher realms.
Mm-hmm. Semjero, the Jawa, the Kunoro, Sumja, Sowa, Sembegi, and Iriwa, Samshindu, Jela, Masaba, Sidi, Jizan, Diniki, Samshindu, Sochu, Jawa, Chiri, and the Puni, Soma, Paralia, Jawa, Jesona, Les Chasasayo, Mara, Samshindu, Le, Sochu, Jawa, Chigoro, in a Lesayo, Mara, Masawa, and the Diniki, the Mangabare, such.
Sensen, Sena, and Sensen, Mashi Gonga, 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 Mash
탈도 주요 말아 지나 차담마상 알아 이제 레사요 말자.
The second sentence, that which will not necessarily be experienced is what has been done intentionally but not been accumulated.
So, 이 약속이요 이제 일람나래야. 일람나야 이제 심지어 소취 비게 예 자와시 소취 비 심지어 소취 지교로 받아 일람래야. 但 제례 자와 차상 지교로 받아 고군노심제소취비군노여래군노심소취비자와지고르바이내다가르청고마데시시다타두주야카메르와인자다삼신도제소취비자와제바레이내타두마주베자레사요마레스제나디에디니기레마사바데디소망에바레샤시
So that which will not necessarily be experienced is where these four components, the basis, the attitude, performance, and completion, are incomplete. So there may be only one or three present, but not all four. And so there are many illustrations such as this. Perhaps one is killing. One has a motivation. One is killing something. One's engaging in performance. But it doesn't come to an end. Why? Because you think, actually, this is really not good to kill. So regret comes for what you're doing. You see this is wrong, so you stop, and the being doesn't die. One hasn't engaged in the complete action. Another illustration, which is also very clear, is if one is dreaming about killing. So in the dream, one has the wish to kill, and one goes through the whole performance, with the performance of killing, and in one's dream, maybe one's successful and you kill whatever. But this is not karma that will is not completely accumulated, so it will not necessarily be experienced. Why? In that dream, one had the motivation to kill, and one engaged in some dreamlike activity, but you're not killing anything. There is no basis. In your dream, you may have thought of something, but that is not a sentient being. The basis is a sentient being. And because there's no basis, there's no completion. So therefore, this karmic action is not complete because the four components are not there. Therefore, it is karma that will not necessarily be experienced.
Reading from the text, the difference between what has been done and what has been accumulated is as follows. What has been done is an intention or is a performance with body or speech following an intention. What has been accumulated are any parts, are any actions apart from the 10, those done in a dream and so forth. Conversely, what has not been accumulated are the 10 types, such as those done in a dream. And these 10 are mentioned in the index, is number
0.70.
So now we're looking at the, just reading from the text, the same part. The difference between what has been done, what has been accumulated is as follows. So look at the difference between these two. What has been done is an intention or is a performance with body or speech following an intention. So it can be just the intention, for example, to kill. Or, so the intention or the motivation to kill can be just that, or following the intention to kill, one actually does something. So there is some form of performance. In this case, it would be physical rather than speech. So explaining then the term what is done, as it says, this an intention, then there's something that is done, but not necessarily accumulated. Or done can also be intention as well as performance, but not necessarily accumulated. So for it to be accumulated, now we go into the third sentence, for it to be accumulated means that you have done so, there was a motivation, you've done so in relation to the performance, in relation to something, and it's being completed. But it's not referring to things. If it were something done in a dream, then it would not be accumulated. What has been, so now reading from the text, what has been accumulated are any actions apart from the 10. So in other words, an action that is not, for example, a dream or any of the other 9.
但龍啊是三比個姑娘水的就三比個姑娘啦龍啊給茶瓦切吧贏啊列薩比茶瓦有嘛的西卡是呢米蘭多斯馬薩巴的米蘭的切巴索那麼久是米蘭米那個索達切的解的公論也巴切龍啊給茶瓦幾個的贏啊他他都主不滅的咋那這那個索列薩比有嘛的錢切薩的龍啊給三比個姑娘啦龍啊給茶瓦切吧呢列薩巴有的馬薩巴有的列薩巴的卡的是呢 Milam
So just to make sure it's clear, because perhaps the text isn't so. So what has been done? So done, there's some activity. So that activity could just be mental. So there's a motivation to do something, and it may be followed by some action, so the performance. But has it been accumulated? And this accumulated means, has the karma been accumulated? So you have the wish to do something in relation to your basis, and you have engaged in performance. But have you accumulated the karma or not? So this depends if the action has been completed or not. And if we're talking about a dream, which is the one illustration of the 10 the text gives, then it has not been accumulated because there is nothing, the karma done in a dream is not complete. So, yeah, just that we see this word accumulated, what it means is, has the karma been accumulated or not? You may have done something, but has the karma been accumulated or not? So invariably it will be yes, because the action's been brought to completion. But if it's done in a dream, completed in a dream, that is not a complete karmic action, and therefore the karma has not been accumulated.
Now we're talking about when karmic imprints may ripen. So when karma is accumulated, when may it ripen? So we're now over the page, at the top of page
138. 통주에
Because what we are looking at is karma that is definite or not definite to be experienced. So now we come to the final part here of looking at karma that is definite to be experienced. To answer the question, so when will this karma that is definite to be experienced, when will it be experienced? And we see there are three. That which will definitely be experienced, a karma that will definitely be experienced, has three categories based on when the effect will be experienced. So of the three categories, the first, that which will be experienced as a visible phenomenon is an action whose effect will be experienced in this life. So in other words, something that is accumulated in this life and ripens in this life. That is the first possibility for karma that is definite to be experienced, accumulated and ripens in the same life.
And
So of the three categories, that was the first. Then the second, that which will be experienced after taking rebirth, is an action whose effect will be experienced in the next life. So could really add here for clarity, experience in the very next life. So accumulated in the present life and will be experienced in the very next life. The third possibility, the third category, that which will be experienced at another time is that which will be experienced in the life after that or beyond. So what this third category means is that karma accumulated in this life can be experienced in a life beyond the next. So we have these three possibilities or three categories. Karma accumulated in this life that may be experienced in this very life. The second, that's the first. The second will be karma accumulated in this life and experienced in the very next life. That's the second. And then the third, karma accumulated in this life and will be experienced in a life beyond the next. So it could be in three lifetimes. It could be in four lifetimes. It could be in 100 lifetimes. Go to any future points. So karma that is definite to be experienced can be experienced in this lifetime, the very next lifetime, or from two more lifetimes. So anything beyond after the next lifetime. What will differentiate between a karmic imprint accumulated in this life and ripening in this life, the very next life, or a life beyond the next life, comes down to factors such as the strength of the motivation. So let's take as an illustration the practice of generosity. So if it is done with a particularly powerful motivation, then one can experience the ripening effect of that karma in this very life. But if the motivation is not particularly strong, but still strong, one can experience it in the life after this, the ripening effect of that act of generosity. And if the motivation isn't particularly strong, then one can experience the ripening effect of that act of generosity in two or more lifetimes to come. And this is also the case with non-virtue. So with a powerful motivation, a particularly powerful motivation, the non-virtue performed in this life can be experienced in this life. But if the motivation is not particularly powerful, that non-virtuous karmic imprints may be experienced in our very next life. And if it is not that strong, the motivation, then it can be experienced in a life beyond the next life. So let's say, take as an illustration, someone who has the aspiration to be a bodhisattva. So to become a bodhisattva, they know they have to accumulate a lot of virtue. So they practice ethical restraint, generosity, and so forth. And they do so, so they're practicing these virtuous acts or deeds, they're cultivating the mind of ethical restraint, the mind of generosity, with the motivation to become a bodhisattva so as to lead all beings to Buddhahood. But they are not yet a bodhisattva. So if they accumulating these virtuous minds with a really powerful motivation, it is possible in this life they will achieve the result of that virtue and become a bodhisattva. If the motivation is not particularly intense, then in their very next life, they may well become a bodhisattva. And if the motivation is more or lesser so, then it will be in a life after that. So two or more lifetimes, that result of these virtuous acts will be experienced. We've been covering the presentation of karma for a while, and a lot has been said. We've covered a number of pages. When we're talking about karma, it really comes down to cause and effect,
This is the way to look at karma, through the understanding of cause and effect. In particular, this is clear in this presentation here, that the strength of the cause not only leads to the strength of the result, but also when that result will be experienced. So a particularly strong cause will lead to a strong result, and that result may well be experienced in this life. Or if the cause is of not quite so strong, it can be experienced in the life straight after this. Or if the cause is not that strong, a life beyond that. So when we talk about karma, what you must be the term cause and effect and karma can be used interchangeably, like I just have, but they can also have a different meaning. So, for example, in our material world, we can talk about cause and effect and illustrations where we wouldn't necessarily be talking about karma. In that, you want to gain some flowers, you know what seeds to plant and what conditions are required. So there, that's cause and effect. But when we're talking about karma, we're not talking about the material world at all. We're really talking about the inner world, the mental world. In that, when we accruing karmic seeds, these we accrue through the mental factor of intention. And if it's a virtuous intention, we are accumulating the karma for happiness or desired results. And if we are accruing, if we have a non-virtuous intention, we are then accruing karmic seeds that will lead to suffering or undesired results. This morning, we completed looking at virtuous karma and its effects, and then we came to look at propelling and completing karma, and our karma that is definite or not definite to ripen. So the purpose of what we are looking at here is to add knowledge, to add depth to what one hears in one's general teachings, so as to apply one's mind ever more so to the quality of motivation to both cultivate and to have as one's guiding motivation throughout our day, throughout all our activities. Because it's quite clear, everyone will prefer a rebirth in the higher realms in their next life. But that mere acceptance is insufficient to lead to the attainment of that result. One has to develop the required causes. So from what we've looked at today, it should be clear there's a propelling karmic imprint that propels our rebirth in either the higher or lower realms. And whether the rebirth is in the higher or lower realms is dependent on whether it's a virtuous or non-virtuous karmic imprint that ripens, which means, with that recognition,
that this our rebirth does not come about independent on our desires or our wants. It comes about independence on the causes that we create. Hearing the presentation then, taking it to heart, will aid our focus in striving to accumulate the causes required to achieve the result that we want. To not just hope for the best, but to create the causes that will lead to that best outcome, that outcome we desire. And understanding also then what are, how one accumulates virtuous causes. Understanding also, or joining that with the understanding that one has to accumulate virtuous causes to attain desired results, this is what one will do. In particular, to gain the virtuous karmic imprints that will lead to a propelling karmic imprint, leading to rebirth in the higher realms. The purpose of Dharma teachings is to convey information. The purpose of receiving Dharma teachings is then to take that information, investigate it, and integrate it. So let's give an illustration of how to utilize what you've heard thus far this weekend, and also draw in a little of what has been looked at in the previous weekend. So we spoke about how to accumulate virtuous karma. So let's take that of, and we've also spoken about and many times the need for virtuous karma. And we saw here in particular, in terms of propelling karma, that a virtuous karmic imprint is what propels rebirth in the higher realms. So therefore, one needs to accumulate virtuous karma. How to do so? So let's take a non-virtuous act of killing. Then, as we saw last night, you reflect on the faults of killing. And you do it through two components. The faults for myself, in other words, the suffering that will follow if I accrue this non-virtue. And leading to the wish, I do not want to suffer like that. And one then can, it's not necessary, but it's good to do, also reflect on the faults of killing in terms of others. So not just for self, but also others. It's not indispensable, but it's good to do. And reflect on the faults, of course, of being killed and their loved ones and so forth. So thereby adding to this determined attitude, I will not kill. And this is, and even before this determined attitude, I will not kill, having reflected on the faults of killing, a virtuous mind comes that is seeing the faults of killing. Seeing the faults of killing is a virtuous mind, leading to the wish, I do not want to do this. That then gets developed into, I will not do this. And that then is the completion of this virtuous karmic imprint.
So again, because this needs to be clear, one engages, so cultivating the intention not to kill requires reflecting on the faults of killing in relation to oneself and others, and leading to this virtuous mind of that killing is wrong, leading to the performance, I do not want to kill, leading to the completion, I will not kill. And in this way, because all four components are there, killing in relation to a being, so there's the basis, there's the attitude, there's the performance, and the completion. All four components are there. A complete karmic, a virtuous karmic imprint has been accrued. So, which would be called the virtuous karmic imprint of abandoning killing. So there's a virtuous karmic imprint of abandoning killing now on one's continuum. And it is a complete karmic imprint in that those four components of basis, attitude, performance, and completion are all there, which means being complete, it is definite to ripen. And being definite to ripen, it has the potential to ripen as a propelling karmic imprint. Should it ripen as a propelling karmic imprint, it is definite or determined that it will lead to rebirth in the higher realms. So this end, then, is how to accrue a virtuous karmic imprint. By doing so again and again, now drawing in what we looked at last time in terms of the weight or the strength of karmic imprints, doing the same meditation again and again strengthens your familiarity to it, which means you're gaining ever more karmic imprints, it's becoming ever more ingrained within you. And if you develop this wish not to kill, this determined attitude not to kill, so it's intense, then that karmic imprint is much more powerful. And this, again, is what we looked at last week. And if you do lengthy meditations, then the duration of the meditation, again, adds to the weight of that karmic imprint. So this is how to use this imparting of knowledge to develop the virtuous causes that are imperative for excellent rebirths. So our responsibility is to engage in these meditations. So you've heard in our classes many times that the cause to be reborn in the high realm, say it's a human, is ethical restraint. So this is now what we've looked at. We've looked at what is unethical behavior, the 10 non-virtues, and what is ethical behavior, the 10 virtues. So what does one meditate on? The 10 non-virtues, to see their faults, leading the faults in terms of the karmic impact on myself, as well as the harm brought to others, leading to leading to the virtuous mind that comes from seeing the faults of the 10 non-virtues, leading to the determination, I will not engage in them. So here I'm just saying 10 non-virtues, but one should do the meditation in relation to killing, in relation to stealing, in relation to sexual misconduct and so forth, leading to these virtuous imprints of, I see the faults, I do not want to do this, I will not do this, and thereby creating these karmic imprints. Then thank you. We can conclude there for Jia. But if we take questions, Rinpoche, how long?
Killing might be in the book, and there might be a possibility of rejoicing in somebody killing over somebody else, or even reading the news sometimes. Would that be regarded as similar to a dream, like you're not accumulating, but you're
So what when if one's either reading or a book or watching the news, and one sees killing, and one is glad that that person's died, is some acceptance, some positive acceptance of this killing act, is that then more likened to a dream where the karmic imprint is incomplete, or would it be a complete action? How would it be?
Yeah, I suppose
there's
no accumulation.
Yes.
But
so it's a done but not accumulated. Yeah.
Then he also draws the Yamanese and the Yamanese. Kasun kuno yomara, sosole kuno, suya kuno yomara, sosuke shanle, suroje nga yomara, chisan jowa tang, sosuke kanya tsang yomara. Chisan da chisu yiran chibi kiwa diba tam se gore.
In brief, yes, it would be similar to that, because what it comes down to is the four components are not complete. And you would have been pleased in this person's death, maybe thinking things will now be better, but you had, so there is a basis because it's about someone, but you had no motivation to kill, and you instructed no one to kill, so you did no performance directly or indirectly, and whilst you may have been pleased in the act being completed, for you there really was no full karmic, karma was not accumulated because all four components, in particular the motivation for that killing to happen and the performance, are completely absent. So, yeah, similar to a dream in that way, in that the four are not complete. Okay. Clear, Shempa? Steve?
So, two-part question. The first part is, at the time of death, is it only one propelling karma that's the cause of the next rebirth?
Very natural. She do. Pampe le de, sabal chik mingia.
Pembe le se.
A single karmic imprint.
So the second part is, with the whole collection of karmic imprints of being we have, like strong negative, strong positive, varying degrees, how is it determined which one is the cause of the propelling karma?
Did it? That's all.
Sadu Kablo Kuno, Shukchung Tone Kavayo, did Shukche to Shukche in Yelming or Shukchuan Jelming or the Nichuan Jeta Denigitone, do you hear it? And that's all you hear it. Gain, that's all you heard that day. Nashua, Gain, Genda, Marangu, you hear it. Tangazuka, did I did it, says she had a Kalahorua.
What cannot be done is for one to determine what will that imprint be that ripens at the time of death, because there are many factors involved. Primarily comes down to what is the predominant or the most powerful imprint on one's continuum. So to know what that is a bit beyond us. When it was accumulated, etc., is unknown. So it's most likely to be what is most powerful, but there are also ripening factors, conditions that also can influence what it is that ripens at the time of death.
Lemia, nyombaro chi dene gijina ya gomshi gare, sosurana nimjindi gomshi shuk cheshung tohne, ya di nyelmimba, gomshi shuk chele nyelmimba da, shuk chwaari chelmimba dene yungore yesa. Ya dene ki, ya ya gensam dila gen gare chegyo mene, gen roo chi, chaydang tohne, ya di nyelmimba da, dene chi yungore yesa sungu tohwa. だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、だって、
So as you rightly pointed out, on our continuum are a large number of imprints, virtuous and non-virtuous, and probably a large number which are powerful as well. So what is most likely to happen at the time of death is the most powerful imprint on one's continuum, because of its strength, will propel one's rebirth. That will be the propelling karmic imprint, whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous. If there's a powerful, particularly powerful virtuous and a particularly powerful non-virtuous imprint, so you'd say of similar strength, then how do you determine which, then you, probably neither would be able to dominate. But what would happen then is what one is most habituated to. That is likely to ripen at the time of death. So what one is most habituated to. That being said, it's still not definite or precise. This yes, that no. In that, there are other factors or conditions that will impact whatever that imprint is that propels. For example, if one is once with one's spiritual teacher or thinking of one's spiritual teacher, that will have a positive impact on the karmic imprint that ripens. On the other hand, if one has a strong attachment for one's possessions for one's possessions or people, that too will have an impact. So there, it's not, in terms of what that karmic imprint is, it's not so clear cut. It's this and not that, because there are a number of factors involved. Maybe this afternoon? Okay. Thanks, Cameron.